Coming up next, is remote work killing our soft skills? And then a viral Twitter thread on red flags in the interview process, and then a remote hiring opportunity, and I'll coach you up. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you are with us. We're helping you win at work and in life, giving you the competitive edge to make more money and to also achieve more impact professionally. So let's talk about social skills. In other words, soft skills, people's skills. How important they are they? Turns out very, very important. Recently saw an article in Fast Company that highlighted some new research. And I want to just underscore the importance of soft skills, people skills, for the future. Automation, artificial intelligence, robotics, in other words, all the technology advances that we're seeing now and that will come. And it's just going to keep getting more spacey. You know what I mean? It's just going to feel like we're living way out in the future. It's just going to keep coming. But the fact is, and we've said this on this show, the research shows that despite all of that, people skills, the ability to communicate and connect with people will be more important than ever. And it's true because machines, if you will, or technology will become so intertwined into our life, even more so than now, which is hard to believe. I was in the airport recently, and I was looking for my wife. We were flying somewhere and I was looking for her. I'd gone to the restroom, gotten a snack, and I was looking for her. And as I was scanning our gate, I saw a ton of kids, young kids, 5, 6 and younger. Every one of them had a device in their hand. You know, just zombied out, man, glued to the screen. So technology's already become intertwined into their life. It's going to be more so. And so as we embrace technology and machines and all that, which we will, people skills will become more important than ever because of the reliance on machines and the interconnective kind of tissue of machines in our lives to where we'll crave our humanness. So this is exciting. I'm going to tell you why. Because you can grow your people skills. It's possible. I like to make fun of myself all the time. You know, I love sports. Basketball was my favorite sport growing up, but I was vertically challenged both in my height and my ability to jump. Like, the bane of my existence was Coleman is vertically challenged. He's 5'9" and he can't jump over paper. Okay? It's just a fact. So no matter how hard I worked, how hard I trained, I wasn't going to get any taller and I wasn't going to increase my vertical leap because only people who have the ability to jump high can make their jump higher, right? Okay. It was worthless. We'll get to this in a second, but you can grow in your people skills. Some of you right now are going, oh man, I'm terrible with people, or I hate people. I know there are people watching and listening right now that you're going, I really can't stand people. Well, yeah, that's unfortunate. But you can not enjoy being around people, let's put it that way, and still be good at dealing with people. So we have a big problem in this area that as our society increases its usage of technology and AI and all the things, and then we saw the pandemic where kids were separated. And if you paid any attention to the news, you saw what the pandemic and sending kids home from school did to their mental health. It's everywhere. Depression skyrocketed. Anxiety skyrocketed. Why? We are relational beings. And so with the hybrid work or the complete remote work, we're seeing that the people skills have been suffering. They aren't used. And when they aren't used, they atrophy. I remember years ago when I played softball, I retired since then. But I was sliding into third base. Joe, it may have been the only triple I ever hit in my life. I hit a really nice ball down the left field line. It went bouncing around on the fence. And back in the day, I could hoof it pretty good. And so I come around, and it's a throw at the bag, right? Third base, and I'm going in, and I go in for a slide, and I jam my thumb straight in the ground. I still got the scar right here. Broke it, tore the ligament, had to have surgery. Well, as a result, my my hand was in a cast and my arm was in a cast for 8 weeks. Now, you folks can see me right now. I'm no Paul Bunyan, all right? These are not humongous forearms. But when I took that cast off after 8 weeks of not using it, it had atrophied and it was significantly smaller. Freaked me out. Just as muscles can atrophy, so can people skills. People skills, if we aren't using them, they can atrophy. I mean, just think about it. You ever seen somebody or read a story of a war hero or somebody that's been in prison for a long time and in isolation? Man, it warps the brain. If you're not using communication, then it'll go away. So here's one thing you've got to do in this day and age. Never stop evaluating and never stop elevating your people skills. I want to say that again. Here's the takeaway from this. I've showed you, the data shows us that people skills will be the most important skill. So parents, those of you that are single, whoever, those of you that maybe you don't like being around people, you need to go, I don't know that I'm where I need to be. You can get there. And I'm going to give you some very practical ways to boost your people skills in just a moment. But I want to make sure you understand that this is a process of never, ever stop evaluating yourself, have others evaluate your people skills. And then after the evaluation, what can I do to elevate my people skills? So I believe they're like a muscle. And just like if I start working out really hard on the old biceps, I'm going to see them grow. You can grow your people skills. So here's how to do it. I'm going to give you three areas. And these are high level, but because there's a lot of individuality to these, but I think this is really going to help you. So there's three areas. Listening is number one. You can really practice the art of listening well. By the way, the benefit of practicing listening is you must ask more questions to actually listen well. What did you mean by that? What makes you feel that way? What have you done here? The art of asking questions makes us a better listener. Listening isn't just hearing, but it is engaging in listening. Second is feeling. As you listen, put yourself in people's shoes. This is the art of empathy, right? So as I listen, I'm now going to feel based on what you've just shared with me. I'm listening, but I'm also feeling. They tell you something sad, listen with your body, right? I'm feeling when I listen with my body. Oh, I'm so sorry. So we listen more actively, more intently, and we feel more sincerely. Feel, just get in there and feel as you're listening. And then third, doing. Listening, feeling, doing. So doing is compassion. So empathy and compassion are wonderful partners. I understand the plight. I feel your pain, as Bill Clinton made famous, right? But I'm now going to do something and act to help alleviate your pain. That's compassion. So if we can just actively begin to listen, if we can feel as we're listening, and if we can in some way do something as a result of the feeling on their behalf, now all of a sudden you have elevated your people skills. You are making an impact and watching your people skills grow. Why? Because your people skills are unlimited and they are your differentiator. You want to stand out? It's not technical skills. It'll always be people skills. Coming up, we'll fill you in on the headlines next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get the competitive edge to make more money and to make a bigger impact in your professional life. 844-747-2577. We coach you up every show. We have a coaching session towards the middle, back end of the show. So if you want some coaching, be ready to go. 844-747-2577. You can also email us, ask@kencoleman.com. We love the questions that we're getting. We want more of you that are stuck. You just feel like, I can't even think about the future. I'm dealing with a 5-alarm fire right now. Ken, help me get out of the burning building. We'll change your name, location, type of work you do to protect your privacy. 844-747-2577. Ask@kencoleman.com. All right, it's time I pay attention to the headlines so that you can get ahead. Let's go. All right, so I frequent the social media, right? I love Twitter. It's a great news resource for me. I enjoy Instagram. I'm not on Facebook that much. LinkedIn, we're on there. I personally am not on there that much, but you know, it's the thing. I don't let it dominate my life, but I like to pay attention to it. And it's these type of things that this is why I do social media. So recently, a guy by the name of Patrick Kodu, I hope I'm saying that right, or Kadu. His username bails me out. That's his name. His username is Sounds Like Canoe. So there you go. Patrick Kadu, which I'd like to point out to the astute listener and viewer. That's how I said it, because I'm hooked on phonics. Here we go. So he recently went on Twitter and he posted this. What are your red flags when hiring? I want your spiciest takes only. Well, that brought out the stories. And so we've got a few here we're going to put on the screen. Here's one from Eric Nowbone. I hope I'm saying that one right. The receptionist test, in all quotes, is pass-fail, all or nothing. Receptionists get a scorecard evaluating how the candidate interacts with and treats someone who ostensibly has nothing to do with the hiring decision. If you're rude to them because they have nothing to offer, you're a pass. Oh, I like that one. So instead of the interview, we're just going to watch how they treat other people in the office. Ah, it's fantastic. Good water today, Joe. Next is Alana Pierce. If a man, when asked a question by a woman, only makes eye contact with other men when responding, that's a red flag. Unfortunately, pretty common and a massive indicator of how you treat female colleagues if hired. Now, I got to tell you, this is a person, this is a guy, let's call this out. She says, dudes do this. And I'm not saying that dudes don't do this, but I'm a little surprised that there's still that many dudes have their head in the sand. In 2022, a woman asks you a question and you're not going to make eye contact with her. Really? Like, seriously? There was an old cartoon when I was a kid growing up called Captain Caveman. We'll just call those guys Captain Caveman, you idiot. Look the woman in the eye. It doesn't matter whether she's a woman or a man. It's called just professional courtesy. Gee whiz. But can I just also say this, and I'm not excusing this, but anytime that happens, there's something that happened in that guy's life that makes him value or devalue women the way he's doing that. There's something deeper going on there. All right, number three. People who after midday on Wednesday ask if they can have the weekend to think about it. Do you or do you not want the freaking job? Okay, that one's funny right there. And I don't know if I'm that judgmental about it. So it's midday on the Wednesday. They've been offered the job. And their response is, can I have the weekend to think about it? So you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So they ask you for 4 days to think about it. That doesn't particularly bother me the way it did this person. Right? To me, it's kind of a, you know, I want to take some time to process it. But this person is a sleep on it only person, apparently. All right, next. Are we still throwing these up there on the screen? Okay. Next is a friend used to take sales candidates out for lunch. Had arrangement with his friend who owned the restaurant. Always had the candidate's order screwed up. Oh, I like this one. Now, this is the character test. Always had the candidate's order screwed up, and then they noted how they dealt with it. Either graciously, just eat the food, or politely point it out. That's great. Any pissiness, no hire. Wow. That's fantastic. Let me tell you why that's fantastic. 9 times out of 10, Alex, I'm going to politely point it out. 9 times out of 10. I'm never just going to eat it unless I'm in a hurry, but I'll politely point it out. But that one time that I was pissy, or two or three in my life, that would be very interesting. Very interesting indeed. I think it's a wonderful character test. My only challenge with that is, if leaders, if you do that, you'd have to ask yourself, is this a character flaw or is it a bad day for them? They're in their job interview. They're stressed out. They're at lunch with you. I mean, are they going to be on their best behavior only because they're with you? See, I flipped that for a second and go, what you took was, oh, this is a great sign, is a person that's on their best behavior because they're in a job interview. I'm a little cynical about it. I like it. I just don't know that I'd make a decision. This was pretty clear. If you're pissy, you're out. Well, they might just be perfect because they're with you. But when you hire them and the first time a customer's a little difficult and they whack them over the head, I think this is a bad litmus test, if you will. All right, next. Let's see here. We've got out of 406 interviews I've done, let me ask my mom. What? What does your company do again? Fantastic. Let me ask my lawyer. That's an unnecessary flex. I'm going to tell you that one right now. I'm not allowed to talk about that. Total BS. Okay. But you won't be calling my boss, right? There's the person who has no awareness. And then finally, do I have to talk anyone to anyone? This is a person who just literally has no freaking idea what they're doing in their life. I'm going to get a job. And as I'm in the interview, I'm going to ask, do I have to talk to anybody? Wow. And then finally, Sean, a candidate who doesn't ask any questions. That's one of my pet peeves. I'm with you on that one. Can't stand that. And then fault for any professional mistakes, stumbles, etc., is attributed to coworkers and leadership. Again, I love that one. That is a glaring red flag. Okay, let's break that down. The candidates who don't ask questions, and this is a little bit of teaching for you who go in and you kind of go, I don't really have any questions. You need to make up questions because it doesn't look like you care enough to dig. It makes you look like the autopilot worker who's just there for the paycheck. And then the fault for any professional mistakes, stumbles. Man, I'm telling you, even if the question they ask you was someone else's fault, take some responsibility for it. You want to show that you are teachable and that you are humble and not, you know, the Mrs. or Mr. Know-it-all. All right. Now, switching gears to a very fun, positive little story. We have this fun segment we do from time to time on the show, ridiculous job titles and what they pay. And we do that to entertain you, but also to help you see that many of you walk through this life thinking there's just no way I could ever find work that I enjoy. You just feel like it is a guaranteed sentence to be in dread. Well, what about this one? There's a British base in Port Lockroy, Antarctica. And it's on Goodyear Island, and it is known for having tons of penguins. In fact, they have a post office now that is called the Penguin Post Office because the penguins are always around, right? I mean, they're just everywhere. 18,000 visitors a year, and you get to see penguins every day. It's really, really cold. Can dip as low as 23 degrees Fahrenheit. That's not even with the wind chill. But if you like penguins and snow and the mail, this is your job. Apply within. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman Show continues to shine a light on your future based on who you are and what you can do, what you should do to make more money, to make a great contribution in your life. Life is too short to just live for the weekend. The job search is frustrating, though. Even though we're in the hottest job market ever, let's be honest, with all the artificial intelligence and online screening and all this kind of stuff, it's full of rejection. It's full of ghosting, no answers at all. And that can get really lonely when you're just kind of doing that. You're submitting, nothing's there. You start to doubt yourself, all kinds of things. And that's why ZipRecruiter does what they do. It's why I endorse them. They get it. Nobody wants to feel alone and frustrated in the job search. Their technology does all the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs you can apply to with one click, and they pitch your profile to employers so you stand out because they're your recruiter. So sign up for free and feel the love at ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com. All right, let's stay right here in our backyard, Nashville, Tennessee. Tyler joins us there. Tyler, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
I'm living the dream, Tyler. What are you doing?
So I recently just made the switch from being an EMT full-time into sales full-time. I think I found my dream career, but it's a lot harder than I expected. I'm a few months in, and I'm still struggling to hit the goals that I'm supposed to hit.
Okay. So what?
A little bit of doubt.
I get it. What makes this your dream career?
I love people. I like helping people. I love talking to people. I've just always been having the gift of gab since I was like six, and I love being around people and being outside.
Okay. And what are your leaders or leader telling you about your training process and your goals? I mean, what's the current temperature here?
They definitely believe in me for sure. They've been doing a lot of encouraging. We've had some frank conversations about where I am, and they're just like, hey, we love you. We love your personality. We think you have what it takes, but you do need to like sharpen your skills and stuff like that.
Okay. So, and have they told you what those skills are that you need to sharpen? Like they're very clear and you're clear on what the skills are that you need to sharpen.
Kind of more so the practical side of sales, like arcing, like acknowledging someone's need or their what they're not happy about, redirecting and closing and moving them toward the product they need, but also not spending too much time on people who it's not a good fit and realizing people who don't need our product.
Well, it sounds to me like you have a pretty clear picture of where you need to grow. And it also sounds like your leaders believe you can get there. And it sounds like you're not under pressure. It doesn't feel like this is a four-alarm fire. This is not even a fire alarm. It's just we believe in you. It takes time, right?
Kind of. I mean, that's what they're saying. But for me, I've always been
I've excelled.
Too much pressure on myself. I'm a perfectionist.
Okay. Hold on a second. You are not a perfectionist. I've been waiting for somebody to say this to me on the show for a while because I'm having a conversation with a friend of mine about this. You're not a perfectionist. Mm. You know how I know you're not a perfectionist?
How?
Because you're not perfect.
That's good.
I know, it's pretty good, right? I've been waiting for that one.
Yeah.
Like, think about how ridiculous. And by the way, I'm letting you off the hook. I'm not picking on you. I'm letting you off the hook.
Yeah, no, that's kind of a breath of fresh air.
Tyler, stop the madness. Yeah. You're trying to be perfect, and you and I know that you ain't perfect.
It's true.
Stop it. Yeah. You know what I think's behind this, though? The pressure that you've put on yourself for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
Your fear of letting somebody else down.
You're right.
Did somebody tell you that you let them down in your life?
No, but I've always kind of felt like an outsider and felt like I had to prove myself.
So. What's behind that? What in your story has made you feel like an outsider?
I've always had trouble connecting with people. Like even my best friends and stuff, I always feel like there's a wall, even though they make it adamantly clear there's not, you know?
What? So, okay, we're going to keep digging.
Yeah.
We're going to keep digging. Your friends tell you there's not a wall. They're looking at you going, Tyler, there's no wall. We love you. And you're going, I'm pretty sure there's a wall.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? There's an experience in your life or there is an environment that you were in for a while that has caused you to believe that. You didn't just come out of the womb that way. What is it? You don't have to tell me the gory details, but I want you to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the source of all of this, doubt. You started the call saying, Ken, I'm dealing with doubt. And I'm like, well, first of all, welcome to the human race.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, anybody who's trying to do something intentionally is going to face doubt. That tells me you're trying. But I'm just asking you to identify. And if you can't tell me on this call, that's fine. If it's too personal and it's too vulnerable, I get it. But somewhere, something, someone, something happened to where you've got this mental block that you aren't enough.
Yeah, I think I need to dig into that. I've honestly never really thought about that before today.
How old are you?
I'm turning 30 this year, actually.
Yeah, you single? So,
yeah, absolutely.
You struggle to have confidence to date?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Been on a few this past year, but it's definitely hard to connect with people sometimes.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to recommend. I really, truly recommend that you sit with a counselor, a therapist. I've sat with therapists. I believe in it. There is no shame in it. Because I'm telling you, a professional is going to get you where you need to go. And I'm telling you, you can just tell them. This dude, Ken Coleman, I called a show and he told me that there's something that's making me feel like I'm not enough. And I feel it, but I need help digging. And they'll help you dig. But there, here's my point. You're 30 years of age. The reason I asked you a moment ago how old you are is because I believe that there was a season, a point in your life where you weren't this way. And to the extent that you can go back there, as far back as you can remember, to where I was not this doubting person about everything, that I wasn't enough. There was a time in my life where I wasn't that, so that we can get to what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. This is deep insecurity is what you're dealing with. And it is manifesting itself professionally in this sales job. Because let me take you back to something you said a moment ago. You said it's held you up with your friends. Your words were, my best friends tell me there's no wall there, but I'm convinced there is. And your current leader is telling you there are no limits to you in the sales job. You can do this. We believe in you, and you don't believe them. So you thought, I'll call Ken Coleman today, and he's going to let me off the hook and tell me that me being in sales isn't the right place for me, and I'm not letting you off the hook because I think you're a good communicator. I think you're a great listener. Stop me when I say something that's false. I think that you love talking and listening to people, and you love serving people in the way of helping them get a solution to their problem. And I think sales is the absolute best way to do that kind of work. So I'm not letting you off the hook. You get to the source of your doubt, your personal doubt, you will see a breakthrough in your sales. Now, I will tell you this, keep doing everything they tell you to do and keep training. And if you just stop thinking and start doing what they told you and how they trained you, you'll see your sales increase. But you'll really take off when you get over the fact that you're not enough. Because every phone call, every interaction with a client right now, in the back of your mind, you're going, I don't think I can convince them that this is the right product or service for them because I just don't think I'm connecting to them. There's a wall.
You're right. No, that's, oh my goodness. Yeah.
So we don't have a job problem. We don't have a career problem. We have a worth problem. You don't think you're worth much. And I don't know who did what to you or who said what to you. I'll leave that to the safe and confidential confines of a therapist. But I'm not giving you job advice today. I'm giving you therapy advice. Go see one, get a good one that you trust. And unpack this stuff. And when you get on the other side of it, there's no stopping you, young man. You have a lot to offer. You do matter. You do have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.